There really is no better way to start a new year than seeking God's face, seeking God's wisdom, seeking God's grace together, his vision together, his hope together. And so I am so, so glad that you are here. As we prepare our hearts to worship this morning and this whole theme of a God who makes all things new, to hear these words that are so familiar to us from Lamentations 3. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every year. What a gift to have a fresh start, right? Again and again and again. His mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Would you pray with me? And so, Lord Jesus, that is why we are here. Some of us in here are sleepy. It was a late night, but we wouldn't be anywhere else besides here. Because your mercies are new this morning. Your grace is right here for us this morning. Your heart is here for us to see and receive and live into this morning and this year. Thank you, O Lord, for a fresh start. Thank you, O Lord, for renewed vision, for renewed hope, for renewed peace, for renewed joy. Thank you that you're a God who is always making all things new, us included, for in Christ we are new creations. Thank you that we are no longer removed from you, O Lord, but we can stand in your presence and sing you praise, and you can hear our songs and you can see our hearts because we are one with you through Christ. That's why we're here. And so, Lord, would you be honored in this place this morning? Would you be honored in our lives this year? For those who are not with us this morning, would you bless them as they worship online or even later in the day, so that we may all begin this new year on the same page, seeking your face together, O Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and we've come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. In calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so I may also go and pay him homage." When they heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Would you pray with me? And so, Lord Jesus, we have already sung to you our prayer. Could there be a better prayer for this first day of this new year than just the longing to be closer and closer to you, to walk with you step by step, to know you more intimately, to follow you more faithfully, and to love you more fully. That is our desire. And so this morning, as we turn to your word of those who found you and worshiped you and were changed by you, could these ancient words be as new to us in this very place, in this very moment? Would your spirit move freely among us, helping us hear whatever it is you want us to hear? And so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be. And so you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Merry Christmas. That was last week, some people would say, and you're right. But it's this week too. Turns out that in the Christian calendar, if you've been reading along in our Advent book, you already know this. In the Christian calendar, Christmas is not one day, but it is a 12-day celebration. And the good news is we are only on day 8. So we still have lots of partying to go, right? I mean, the good news of Christ coming to live among us, it is worthy of more than 24 hours of our attention. And so we as God's people are still celebrating, even this morning, the God who would choose to come and to be with us. So we say Happy New Year, but we also still say Merry Christmas. We're still celebrating. And the Christmas story thus far, it has been exciting. We've heard the angel Gabriel come and tell Zechariah that the Messiah is coming and his son's going to prepare the way. That same angel came and told Mary that she was going to bear a son and his name was going to be Jesus. And the same angel came to Joseph in a dream and told him not to leave Mary because this whole thing was God's doing. Just trust the plan, Joseph. Go along with it. That night that Jesus was born, if you remember, a multitude of angels appear to the shepherds in the fields, and they sing out, "Today has been born to you in the town of Bethlehem, the city of David, a Savior, the Messiah, the Lord is here." This recurring theme in the Christmas story up until today is angels. Angels. They're showing up to young men and to young women and to confused fiancés and to shepherds on the job. And they are saying again and again, wake up, God is on the move. And come and see what he's up to. And we love these stories. We come to them year after year. But if we're honest, we listen to these stories a little bit like outsiders looking in. They seem so foreign and so long ago. We can't help but wonder if we would have the courage of Mary to say, let it be done to me according to your word. Or would we have the obedience of Joseph to go along with the plan that would bring supposed shame on me and my family? Or would we have the urgency of the shepherds to drop everything and to go and to see? But then we think about it and we're like, you know, if an angel showed up in my bedroom and told me just what to do and just how to do it, of course I would. Of course I would, right? If an angel showed up at my workplace and said, leave this place now, I'd be like, yeah, I'm out. Leave this place. Jesus is here. You got to go see him and go see him now. Of course we'd drop everything. If an angel spoke directly to me about my biggest fears and said, Jamie, don't be afraid. Here's what God's doing about that. Of course I'd be courageous. The problem is, I don't know about you, but I can't recall the last time an angel came to me to tell me just exactly what it was God was doing with me and around me. What about you? Anybody hung out with an angel lately? Yeah, me neither. Me neither. And here's the good news. Here is where these strange astrologers from Persia come into God's story. And here's where they come into our stories. You see, these are the very first ones in the entire Christmas story who find themselves smack dab in the presence of Christ without an angel intervening to get them there. They come just as close to Jesus as those blessed shepherds in the field. And they get there apart from heaven having to come down and saying, "Hey, you guys, let me spell out for you exactly what God is doing so you don't miss it." And they don't miss it. They don't have the angel and they don't miss it. What leads them to Jesus, to his presence, to that nearness, to that place of worship? What leads them there is the same sorts of things that lead us close to Jesus, even still, even today. That's good news. Anyone on this first day of 2023 have this deep longing to get closer to Jesus this year than ever before? Yeah, me too. At least like there's like three of us in it together, and that's awesome. Me too. Me too. That's all I want, to get closer to Jesus than ever before. If that happens, then anything else I want will probably fall into place, just to get closer to Jesus. And these wise men, they are wonderful guides for how we might end up in his presence like never before, because they did it. They figured it out. And so I invite you to lean in, my friends, and let us see if these wise men might point us into the presence of our Savior this day. What brought the wise men close to Jesus? How'd they get there? For one, they were the types of people who were always looking for more. You see, they spent their nights when everyone else was sound asleep, looking to the heavens, wondering if there was more going on in this world than meets the eye. These are ones who just lived this life of curiosity. They were curious about the things of the Creator, whoever that could be. They wondered, could they tap into these great mysteries? Could they grasp a bigger truth in this world than whatever the marketplace gossip was of the day? Was there more going on? Was there more to know? That they dared to wonder if there was a God. These were not Jewish people, but they dared to wonder if there was a God. And if there is a God, could he actually be knowable? And they dared to wonder if there was a true way to live and if they might actually live it. They spent their life always looking to the stars, always digging deeper into truth, always ready to go on grand adventures if it meant finding out what more there was to this life they were living. These are the types of people who are never content to stop growing. Not satisfied with the life of just surviving. Not satisfied with just working, paying the bills, eating, sleeping, wake up and do it again tomorrow. Not satisfied with that. It's not enough. It's not enough. These are the people with this hunch that there is a God and he is knowable and he is up to something, and they are not going to rest until they have given every effort to know him and to find him. And when they see that star, on what could be the 1,000th night of them looking into the heavens, what do? But they immediately pack up their bags and they load up their camels and they embark on this 1,000-mile journey to who knows where and to find who knows what. They have so many questions that they are absolutely unwilling to miss a chance to encounter the Creator God like never before. And so, questions and all, the journey will go on. They will move toward this truth, toward this mystery. They will move toward something more. You see, the truth is, if we're really honest with ourselves, so often we don't see Jesus because we're not actually looking for Jesus. Right? I mean, so often we don't go where God is leading because we've forgotten to even be the least bit curious about what God's up to around this place. I mean, we so easily become so comfortable with what we already know about God that somewhere along the way we just stop asking questions and we just stop digging deeper into who he is and what he's up to. And I tell you, we won't find more of Jesus if in our heart of hearts we are not the least bit curious about our Jesus. I mean, so often we can go a whole entire year without really taking any adventure with Jesus because we've come to this place where we just kind of prefer the little bit that we get to know him and the comfort of our lives that we've become so accustomed to. And we prefer that little bit in these comfortable lives to the chance we have to know him even more if that chance comes with some kind of adventure and some kind of risk and some kind of change. If that's what it takes to know him more, I'll just stick with what I've got. It's good enough. And so we can just stay in what is. We can stay where we've been for years now, not ever going any deeper in our relationship with our God. Because we are just so easily satisfied with the little bit of God that we have. And even the strongest Christian in this room, still we only have a little bit of God. No one's begun to tap out on that one yet, I guarantee you. And we can get so comfortable with the little bit of God that we have that we just settle in and say, this will do until heaven. And we miss out year after year on the grand adventure of intimacy that could be ours with Jesus Christ. Do we want more? Do we long for more? Are we unwilling to be satisfied with what we've got, because we know there's more Jesus. There's more Jesus. In 2022, did you grow closer to Jesus than you did in 2021? Just answer this in your heart. So just between you and Jesus, did you grow closer to Jesus than you did in 2021? In 2022, did you learn something about God that blew your mind? And that broke open your heart. Not the same things you learned in Sunday school when you were 8. Something new in 2022. In 2022, did you go on an adventure with your Jesus that you never would have imagined possible in 2021? Oh, I hope it has been a year of ongoing transformation in your life with your God. I hope that it wasn't a year of just more of the same, more of how it's always been. There's more to life than that. There's more to life with Jesus than that. And the good news is, regardless of what we say about 2022, we all have the exact same invitation this morning for 2023. None of us have missed that boat yet. We're only like 8 hours into it. We're good. We're good. And our invitation for 2023 is what it always is. We can have as much of Jesus as we want this year. As much as we want. And do we want him more than anything? I do. I do. And we can have as much of him as we want. Just this word from the wise men. Refuse to be satisfied with what already is in your life with Jesus. Even if your life with him is great, be hungry for more. Be hungry for more. Because when you love someone with all of your heart, you never get tired of knowing them more. And you never get tired of pleasing them more. And you never get tired of being with them more. Refuse to be satisfied. Be hungry for more of Jesus. Be curious this very day about what God is up to. Look to the heavens every single day. Start every single day in prayer. Your life connecting to God's heart. Curious what he's got going on so you might get to be on adventure with him. Be willing to go to great lengths to find him. It was 1,000 miles on camelback for the wise men. That doesn't sound like very much fun. And yet they would say that every moment was worth it. For that moment, they found Jesus at the end of the journey. What if this is a year of no limits, on the lengths that you, that I will go to encounter our Jesus like never before. What if there's just no limits? What if? That's our invitation for 2023. We can have as much of Jesus as we want. How much do we want him this day? How much do we want him this year? We can have him that much. Hopefully it's even more. Then this from the wise men. When they find Jesus, what do? They kneel down and they worship him. He's just a baby, maybe a toddler. It's a silly looking scene. These rich men from the East, maybe kings, maybe royalty, whatever it is, they're wealthy, humble themselves before this tiny little child. They kneel down. And in that moment, everything else stops. And all that matters in that time and place is that they give this Jesus the honor that he is due. Want to find Jesus like never before this year? I don't have to tell you this because you're at church on New Year's Day. But hear this. Prioritize worship. Prioritize worship. Draw near to the presence of Jesus every day. Take time over and over and over again to stop and just declare your love for him. Kneel down and surrender to him. You notice what these wise men don't do in his midst? They don't write up their to-do list and say, all right, Jesus, when you get a little bit older and you finally have some power, here's what we need from you. There's no prayer request. Not that that's bad. He can take our hearts. But in this moment, it's not about them. They don't give him any to-do list. All they do is bow down and worship him. They just declare that he is king. And he is worthy of their presence. He is worthy of their journey. He is worthy of their time. He is worthy of their full attention. He is worthy of their humility. Every day this year, my friends, every day, if you take time to offer King Jesus your presence, your time, your attention, I guarantee you it'll be a year like never before. Worship him. And when his people gather to worship together, the best you can, prioritize it over everything else. There's nothing like these moments together. And I fear that in the American church today, before COVID, especially after COVID, Jesus gets less of his people's worship than ever before in the American church's history. I mean, we're just a people who have become so distracted by this culture we live in that even those of us who love Jesus and who truly want to honor him with our lives, we enjoy worship. We love being here. But if we're honest, the second a chance for something else comes up, there's always that temptation to put worship off until the next week or the next week or the next week. And yet we have a God who has asked us just once a week. He's asked us just once a week to gather in community as his people and to just honor him together, to sing praises to his name together, to lean into his word together, to use our gifts to encourage one another together, to truly be brothers and sisters who seek him together. Just once a week to put off everything else and commit to worshiping him only. With all that we've got. If you want to know Jesus like never before, commit to worshiping him like never before this year. Every day slowing down in his presence. Every week seeking his face together. To know him, we've got to worship him. He is worthy of our Sundays. He is worthy of our mornings. He is worthy of our bended knees. He is worthy of our songs of praise. He is worthy. And so we just commit to a year of telling Jesus every day, here I am again in your presence, O Lord, because you are worthy of my worship. And then those wise men. in that place of worship, they opened their bags and they gave him gifts. Gold for a king, frankincense for a deity, myrrh for one who would die for us. You see, these gifts, they had made that long trip from Persia as well. When these ones set out on this journey to find the king, they were going to come into his presence prepared. They were going to have something to give him. My friends, we've got gifts to give him too. We've got gifts to show him how much we love him too. We've got gifts to show him how much we trust him. We've got gifts that tell him that we are actually willing to be used for his kingdom to come here to earth as it is in heaven. We are called to come into his presence every day, every week with a gift that we are eager to share with him. But we don't just come to these places to get something from him, right? We don't just come so we have a chance to beg Jesus for what we want from him. We don't just come to worship to get our Jesus fill for the week, do we? That would be weird. We come to Jesus because we love him. And out of our love for him, we come bearing gifts to bless him. What gift did you bring for your Jesus today? Have you even thought about that yet? I mean, we come ready to receive gifts from him, right? We're ready for the gift at the table is grace. We're ready for the gift of encouragement that we get through some songs. We are ready for our gift of guidance from God through our star word. We're ready for guidance from one another, love from a friend. But what gift did you bring for your king when you came into his presence today? How did you come into his presence? Eager, excited, ready to bless him. Want to know Jesus like never before this year? Try this. Every day, every Sunday, have one gift to give your Jesus that day. Whatever. It could be time. It could be an act of service. It could be worship, devotion. It could be your money. It could be anything. Be creative. One gift for your Jesus each day. And give it not as a burden and not as a way to earn anything from him. We can't do that. But give it as this adventure and this chance to love him. When Guy and I were first together and his first birthday came around, I was excited. I was in love with somebody on their birthday. And that's fun. And so what I did, I haven't done it since because we were still falling in love, was I did a whole birthday week of presents. And so the week before his birthday, the table was full of presents. He got to open one on this day, one this. 7 presents for his birthday week. It was so fun, the whole week of a gift for my love each day. And I had more fun on his birthday week than he did. Because I was like, it's another day. You get to open a gift again. It's fun. It's fun to get creative and give gifts to the people that we love. It is fun. This year, would you bring some gifts for our Jesus? You'll know him and you'll enjoy his presence. You'll enjoy life with him like never before when you come not just to receive his grace, but when you come playing the same game, giving him your very best gifts. Finally, those wise men. This is my favorite part. As their time in the presence of Jesus came to a close, they had this vision. So the angel did eventually come. They had this vision that said not to go back to Herod. And so the story closes with just one little line. So they went home a whole different way than they came. Now it's a logistics thing for sure, right? But it's also a metaphor for our life with Jesus. Because you see, when we enter the presence of Jesus, every single time, we must be ready and willing to leave that presence changed. We must come into his presence ready to have our plans thrown out the window. ready to have our agenda set aside. We must come into his presence ready to embark on a new journey that we never saw coming. Ready to leave his presence, seeing others in a brand new light. Ready for our hearts to have brand new ambitions and desires and callings. That's what happens when we hang out in the presence of our Jesus. Could we dare start this year telling Jesus, here we are, Jesus, and you have full permission to change us? Yeah, that's what I thought I'd get. It's scary. It's scary. Me too, but we got to do it. You have full permission, Jesus. Here we are in your presence to change our course if need be. You've got full permission to change our plans. You've got full permission this year, Jesus, to change my priorities. To change my heart. Could we tell him that every day, all year long? Can you imagine the invitation that gives him to do some crazy stuff in our lives? Holy smokes. Could we enter into this room every time we come to worship and sit in our seats and refuse to walk back out those doors until something has been changed in us? Maybe we're still sitting here at 5 p.m. on Sunday night. I'm not leaving God until you change something in me. I didn't come to church just to get my Jesus fixed. I came to be changed in your presence. And I am not leaving until you change me. Tired of the same old, come and go, do the same thing after the same thing. Change me, Jesus. I am ready to be changed. If we are up for being changed, I got good news. We have a God who is passionate about life and healing and wholeness. And he will always be changing something for the good in us. I tell you, he won't force it, but he will always be at it if we just give him permission. And they went home another way. It's a metaphor. Having been with Jesus like never before, they went home another way. This year, will we be with our Jesus like never before? Each week, will we go home another way, starting today? I'm in. I'm so in. I mean, what's the point of life if we're not in? Just wasting our time. I'm in. What do you say? Could we be in together? Me? Yeah, me too. Let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, you are worthy of our worship. You are worthy of our gifts. Thank you for showing us the way to you. And thank you for telling us that we can hang out there in your presence as long as we want. We can have as much of you as we want. And thank you that you never leave us just as we are. But so long as our hearts are open to you, you are always in the work of healing and restoring and renewing and making new and inviting us into your grand adventure that is your kingdom coming to earth. Let us this day surrender whatever we need to surrender to you. Let us this day commit to whatever it is you're stirring in our hearts to commit. And let us start this day declaring our love for you and giving you permission to change us. And let it happen again tomorrow. And when it comes to be December 31st, 2023, let us still be doing it, O Lord, this year that we might know you like never before. So we might love you like never before. And so we might shine your light like never before. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.